are bringing you round two of Papa's Football Podcast because I, amazing board op producer, whatever the hell you want to call me, did not turn on the recording unit. And Bill Roland, saint that he is, was just like, this is fine. This is cool.
It happens. So you just do it again.
Oh, my God. We've missed so much magic, Bill. We can just say it, right? That was the best thing ever. We were murdering it. All right. So, again, today we want to just, I guess, pick a few of the big stories coming out of the weekend, focus on them, go over a couple of games, maybe if we want to touch on some matchups that are coming up next week we think are interesting. I was, again, we said all this already. God damn it. But I was the biggest stories for me this weekend. One, you have I don't know how many quarterbacks either straight up beat up and out of the game, injured. Right. We lost Breeze. We lost Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger for an undisclosed amount of time at this point.
Yeah, I don't think they know. Yeah.
Breeze as of this morning, six weeks with a thumb injury. And the other huge story I feel this weekend, horrible officiating. Horrible. Just what the hell can this league do about it level officiating? I'm not one of those guys, Bill, that complains about officiating for the most part, but we've hit a point where it's like, why play the damn game? I mean, some of this is so blatant. What can be done?
Yeah,
for real, what can be done?
And the problem is they've started now, and I'll give them credit for this, talking about the NFL, they have gotten a couple of the offensive pass interference calls correct when it's a pick play. Like I saw Miami, New England, didn't matter. New England's going to bury them anyway.
Yeah.
But they ran a play, I want to say it was in the first half maybe, and got touchdown out of it. But it was clearly, they had two receivers to the left side of Brady. Mm-hmm. The outside receiver ran a slant route. The inside receiver kind of ran to the corner, and the outside receiver basically ran right into, it was Josh Gordon, ran right into, I forget who the receiver was, Philip Dorsett maybe, I don't remember, but basically ran right into the defender that was trying to guard the guy.
Gotcha.
And that's why it was so wide open, that's why it was a touchdown. And a year ago, that's a touchdown. And everybody goes, how they missed this? The guy basically ran right into him, which you cannot do, obviously, and it was a pick. And so Miami's coach, fuming there on the sidelines, finally threw the red challenge flag, and they went back and said, yeah, you know what, you're right. It's offensive pass interference. And they did a couple of those. But it's like, why can't you see that in real time? Like, me watching the game, I went, oh, shit, he picked him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, where's the official to be like, yeah, you...
Yeah, at some point, it's like, okay, cool. This shit is dealt with by people on the field. All right. But like you're describing, is there not anyone that's just straight up watching bird's eye views of this? Or for God's sake, can they just not pay someone to watch the game feed? And it's like, oh, Tony Romo pointed this out. Maybe I'll call this down to the guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the field. That's what really blows my mind. Like, just listen to the sportscasters who are doing nothing but eyeballing this shit and looking for something juicy to focus on. And then just have a guy who calls down to the field and is like, hey, they're talking about this. Look at it.
Yeah, I mean, that would take a little bit of time as well, because I'm not sure you could do it in real time that quickly.
I mean, couldn't you get a network feed?
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, by the time the official, who you know, you're talking about a guy being up there listening and watching down and goes, oh, wait, CBS talked about that. And then you get it to the head referee. I mean, I don't want that. That's just another layer of nonsense that we'd have to do. What I want is for them to do a better job on the field.
Yeah, I think we'd be okay with that if we thought the end result worked, like if they were going to get it correct. It's two things for me. One, they're just not getting it right. Like, the other horrible calls from yesterday.
Another one, the Rams.
Flashback for the Saints.
The Rams-Saints game yesterday, yep.
Where, who is it? Got Rams quarterback, I forget.
Jared Goff.
Yeah, the one that isn't Carson Wentz.
Right.
You know, got strip sacked pretty much, and it was returned to the end zone, and they're blowing it dead. I mean, why are you blowing that play? Why do you feel the need to blow the whistle on that play? Just let that shit shake out.
And then you go back and fix it. If there's a problem, if it wasn't the fumble, if it was something else, if the guy's knee was down, okay, fine. That's why you have replay. Everybody says, well, they have replay so they can get it right. Okay, that's fine. I understand that. But you could probably run replay on every single down. And
find something.
And find something. Yeah, I would. Yeah. And I was going to say, and I bet 50 to 60% of the plays have something egregious that could be called. And probably
how much
80
holding is there?
Well, exactly. And 80 to 85% probably have some, you know, yeah, you could probably call that and nobody would complain type thing. There's maybe 5%, 10% of plays in the NFL, and players would probably tell me it's even less than that. But I'm gonna say there's 5 to 10% of plays that go off without a hitch, that there really wasn't a penalty anywhere to be seen. Most of those are field goals and punts.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that.
No, you're completely right. I hadn't even thought of that. There's always something on some level going on. It's the big shit where it's like PI called where there wasn't PI, so
right.
40 fucking yards out of nowhere. A missed, you know, when you strip the ball from a QB, there's
right.
nothing more devastating than the pick six or whatever the fumble equivalent thereof is, and cheating someone out of that. I mean, it changes the tenor of the entire game.
Of course.
And so that happened again to the Saints. I'm trying to think what the hell else we had yesterday. Oh, Denver. I didn't really watch this game too closely, but apparently Bradley Chubb was called for some like completely BS.
Roughing the passer.
On Trubisky, who apparently had another great outing. Wink, wink, wink. And yeah, put him into field goal range. And I mean, good for the Bears. They excised their kicking demons because they had a kicker make a 52-yarder
right.
in the stadium where, again, you and I could kick roughly a 48-yarder. I mean, that Mile High just has – or what is it nowadays? It's not even Mile High.
Invesco Field. Is that what it is?
I used to be like Sports Authority. Yeah.
I
hate the corporate branding so much. But, yeah, so Denver drops to 0-2. Not that I think they're going anywhere, but
– no, but they're now – a couple of 0-2 teams that you go, it's going to be tough to run back from. Denver's one of them. I'm with you. I don't think they have the horses. Nice pun,
hey.
Right? The Broncos. I don't think they have the talent to compete with Kansas City and the Chargers for a division title. So they were going to be second wild card at best. I don't even think they were necessarily ready for that, but they should have beat an Oakland team that was going into week one absolutely in shambles because of what was going on with Antonio Brown.
Yeah, instead they looked great.
And they got worked by Oakland, which should not have happened. And then they lose at home to a very mediocre Chicago team. So now they're staring
great
at they
defense.
They had a chance
offense.
To get to 2-0, and they blew it.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, in just the West, not even looking at the AFC picture, just AFC West, they're a third place team.
Yeah.
So what the hell are
they
gonna do? Well,
there might be fourth place. I mean,
yeah,
Oakland's probably better than them now.
Oakland beat them.
Yeah, Oakland's probably better than them. So Denver may end up being a 4 or 5.
This might be
this
the
year.
Worst I've ever seen the Broncos in my lifetime.
It's pretty close. I mean, I'm sure people that are Bronco fans would probably be able to point out worst seasons that they've had. But yeah, in recent memory, they've always been at least kind of that one of those teams that seems to be fighting around 500 every year.
Yeah.
Not in the playoffs.
Even
they're
under the Shanahan with Jake the Snake. They were.
Yeah. I mean, they were a threat to beat you. They
exactly.
weren't going to win the Super Bowl, but they were a tough out,
something.
Especially at home. But they're 0-2.
Was it last year? It was the first time they back-to-back losing seasons since like the 70s or something.
Yeah,
crap
been.
Like that. Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it could have been.
And I mean, they're on the fast track to do it a third season in a row.
Yeah, well, they won't have a winning season.
No,
I don't think that's in the cards for them at all.
Yeah. They've lost to the least of the other
right.
three teams.
They still have
in their
to play
division.
Kansas City twice.
Twice.
They still have to play I almost said San Diego. They have to play the Chargers twice.
Twice. They are San
which
Diego.
Still, they'll
say it.
They'll beat the Chargers probably once because it seems like that always goes on. It's just like anything when you play a divisional matchup. It's a toss up. You just
except
don't know.
For the Redskins beating the Cowboys.
Well, that game, and I mean, again, Washington is not talented. They're again one of the ones that sitting at 0-2. Them and the Giants 0-2. Carolina Panthers 0-2. The Steelers, surprisingly enough, 0-2.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Steelers can pound their chest all they want about cutting out locker room cancer. They also cut out a lot of their talent.
They did. They did. And with Roethlisberger hurt and James Conner went out, I think, with a foot injury, yesterday. Now, again, their first two games on the road against New England was that was going to be a beatdown. You knew that coming.
Such a beatdown.
And then home against Seattle. Seattle's not bad. I mean, they barely got away from Cincinnati at home last week, but Seattle's decent. I mean,
there was a time 5 years ago, as they say, the shortest lived dynasty there has been. But yeah.
I mean, they've still got talent. I mean, I like their combo running game that they're doing now with Penny and Carson, and Russell Wilson's still he's probably a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
They've got some receivers. I mean, Tyler Lockett's pretty good. But Denver at 0-2, Pittsburgh at 0-2, they're in trouble. Now, I mean, Denver doesn't have has a prayer in their division. It's too good. The Steelers, I mean, Cincinnati's not great. Who knows about Cleveland? I guess we'll find out. We're taping this before the Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what we're going to find out about them playing the Jets.
Yeah, Darnoldless Jets.
Yeah, mono for him.
Yeah.
So they should win that game, but they shouldn't have gotten beat by 20 or whatever it was by Tennessee in week one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Pittsburgh's in a bad spot in the AFC because
how long before Tomlin's gone? That's my question.
Well, here's the thing. I saw a stat earlier today that coming off when they are under 500, that Tomlin's teams win 40% of the time when they're under 500.
Okay.
The average in the NFL over the same time period is like 17%.
Okay.
So he's done a pretty good job of kind of getting them off the mat and moving forward.
Into it,
now, he did that with guys like Le'Veon Bell and Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown and guys before them. So he's had talent. He's had help. If all three of those guys are not in the lineup, and we know two of them won't because they're on other teams now, but if Roethlisberger's out for any length of time, and they talked about it, and I don't know, I mean, the NFL probably won't investigate it because it makes them look bad, but after the game yesterday, there were some Steeler players talking about how they knew that Roethlisberger had been dealing with this elbow issue in the week leading up to the game.
Oh, we failed to
and was never
disclose.
On the injured list, which, of course, you know, any of those gamblers, although they ended up covering because I think Seattle was 4-point favorite, so they covered.
But the hell out. Seattle was favored on the road.
Yeah. But look how bad Pittsburgh looked in week one. So, I mean,
I know, but that's like, they're going into Foxborough, man. Like, wow, I did not know that Seattle was
favorite. Seattle was favored.
Get the
Heinz Field. Foxborough's the Patriots.
Yeah, no, weren't the Steelers on the road week one? Or no?
Yeah, I meant Seattle was favored.
Seattle was on the road.
Right. No, yeah. the Patriots weren't favored in Foxborough, no. New England was a favorite.
Of course, yeah. No, I'm saying Seattle, the Steelers were hosting Seattle, and Seattle was still favored by 4.5.
Four, yeah, I think it was four.
That's crazy.
Four. Yeah,
that is crazy.
But think how bad the Steelers looked. I mean, they scored 3 points in week one.
Jesus. I mean, I turned that game off so quickly. Yeah. I don't know if you stuck around. I know you're a Patriots dude.
No, I didn't care.
So
it
even
didn't matter.
You, as a Patriots fan, were bored by that.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
I can only imagine, as a Redskins fan, if they were doing it to a team, I would rewatch that game like five times.
Well, sure. And I mean, I'm not even necessarily a Patriots fan. I like the Patriots because I love that they've pissed everybody else off.
Okay.
Like, I don't live in. If they lose, okay. I'm not.
Are you just not a huge football dude in general?
Just not. I wouldn't say that. I'm not a fan of any particular team.
Okay.
Because I think I told this story before. When I worked in Baltimore and covering the Ravens,
Drew Brees ran over your dog. No, Drew Brees.
Did he play for the Ravens? I remember.
No, I'm sorry. Bledsoe was with the Pats.
Yeah. I was gonna say when I was covering the Ravens, we used to do the show from their building every Monday.
Okay.
And so I would go out. We wouldn't start until I want to say 3. I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be there, and they'd have the Monday press conference and all other stuff. And
yeah,
we were in the locker room, and this was the season that everything fell apart for them. I think it was Billick's final year.
When was that? Mid-2000s?
Yeah, like 2003-ish, maybe 2002, something like that. I have to go back and look. It all runs together. Did a couple of times in Baltimore. But anyway, so we're out there, and they had gotten booed the day before. at home, which, I mean, didn't happen in Baltimore. They were coming off a, you know, Super Bowl within the last 4 or 5 years or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was...
It buys you goodwill, man.
Yeah. I mean, and Baltimore fans, I mean, they love the Ravens. So, I mean, it was unusual because they had been so good. And so we asked one of the players about it, and he flew off the handle. And if this had been in the world now of Twitter and all that stuff, it would have been everywhere within 2 minutes.
Okay.
There'd have been video. I mean, somebody would have had their camera up videotaping it. I mean, there are people there with microphones and writing stuff down, but the guy basically turned around, pulled out his pay stub from the week before, and said, "Do you think I give a fuck about what these fans think?"
Wow.
And then put it back in his locker.
And that was Tony Siragusa.
I think Siragusa was retired at that point. Literally within 30
seconds. When did he retire? How damn old was the Goose?
Well, he was done after their 2000 Super Bowl, right? He didn't stick around that much longer than
Was he gone that quickly afterward? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I know he wasn't on this team. At least I don't remember him being on this team. This team was dysfunctional. This was the Deion Sanders was there in Baltimore.
Yeah.
It was that year that just went completely off the rails for them. But within 30 seconds, their media guy grabbed everybody that had been standing in front of this locker. And there's probably five of us.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't sparsely attended. It wasn't that big of a deal. And hustled us into the other room and basically said, "Nobody repeats this. Nobody." And we're like,
"Who wants keychains?"
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was, I mean, he was basically like, "If you put this out there, we're going to make your life miserable."
Yeah.
I mean, it was implied that the, you know, Ravens Mafia was basically like, "You're not doing
man.
This." So we didn't. I was like, "Oh, well."
I mean, that day, your football innocence died.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of knew. I mean, you knew from being around these guys. Again, I did a Dallas Thomas' show for a couple years, and guys would come in. And again, this was that same year. Deion came in and did the show. And it was, remember, this was the same year that Terrell Owens was having all those issues, was crying in his driveway.
So he was a Cowboy at this point.
He was an Eagle at that point.
He was an Eagle at that point. Okay.
Right. It was when he was still, I should look all this stuff up and give you exact years and everything. But it was when they were trying to figure out, like, would he get traded or would you? The whole question for everybody was,
That was the Super Bowl year or a year after?
It was whenever he held out and was doing sit-ups in his driveway.
This is like 05-ish then.
That's probably about right. Yeah, it's probably 05. Probably fall 05. But anyway, so Deion's on the show. And I generally didn't ask the type of, you know, like, I wasn't going to do gotcha questions on the air. So we would go to break, and I'd be like, "Hey, guys, next segment, I'd like to bring this up if you're okay with it. If you're not, fine. I don't want you to put people on blast. That's not what we're here to do." So we went through our first break, and it was always, Dallas and I would do the first segment, and then we'd bring the guest on. So
okay.
Deion was going to come on. So Deion comes over and sits down. I thanked him for throwing water on Tim McCarver back when he played for the Braves in the World Series, because I don't like Tim McCarver. I thought that was great. And then I said, "Hey, I'm sure you've seen this stuff going on with Owens. Do you mind if I ask you about it and whether or not you think with all the veterans?" Because, again, they had Adalys Thomas, they had Deion, they had Ray Lewis, they had all these veteran guys. You know, would you guys be able to control a guy like T.O. or whatever? And he's like, "Man, you ask me whatever you want. Go for it." Okay, cool. So we get back and we ease into it for a couple questions. And then I go, "Hey, you know, I'm sure you guys have seen, how could you not have seen
Owens?" And he
screams, Owens.
"You honky bastard."
Yeah. Have you guys seen this thing with Owens? Would it make sense? Because the offense was shit that year. Would it make sense? Could you bring a guy in like that and handle it? Or would he be a distraction? And Deion goes, "What makes you think we don't have those type of guys in our locker room already?"
Okay.
And I went,
"Go on."
Okay. Yeah. And I said, "Do you want to name names?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "I don't have to name names." He goes, "You all know who we're talking about." I had no idea who he was talking about. No clue whatsoever who he was talking about. But it started a whole thing after that point of, well, who's he calling out? Who's this guy that's such a problem? And I mean, then it just, it went completely downhill from there.
What a girly, gossipy world sports really is.
So, I mean, I had seen that kind of side of it, but it was just kind of the culmination of, the fact that there were guys that did not give a rip about, and it's not every NFL player. I'm not saying that there aren't guys on all 32 teams, and probably the vast majority of them on all 32 teams are probably very nice guys, love the support that they get from the fans and all that stuff. But I also know there's a good segment of them that don't care and are in it just for that paycheck, which that's their right as well.
Oh, yeah.
But it also makes me not want to cheer for them, not want to be invested in them, because they don't care if I'm invested or not, so why should I be invested? Doesn't matter to them. Now, they haven't thought it all the way through that if we're not here, actually, technically, if the television contracts aren't there, their paychecks aren't there. It's not necessarily, it's not the fans going to the stadium.
Hell no. It's going to get to a point. They're just going to play on sound stages. Yeah,
I mean, it's the television contracts. But that segment of them, again, and I know I was 35. It's not like I was some young kid that had never been around. I'd been in covering sports for over a decade at that point. But it just crystallized it enough that I went, why do people live and die every week with these guys? Because they don't care. If they lose, okay, they're upset for that night. And yeah, maybe it'll suck when they go back to practice during the week because they're going to get yelled at and their coach is going to be harder on them. But they're still clocking major checks. And this guy was clocking major checks. So that kind of ruined me. To make a long story on why I don't root for any particular team anymore, now it's if I'm gambling on a team, I root for them. If I have somebody on my fantasy football team, or if another team comes along or another coach and them come along like Belichick that pisses off the rest of the league.
What are we listening to?
Oh, that's our bird clock. It's noon, so the owl is going to, I don't know if you can hear that on the microphone may not have picked that up.
Probably not, but yeah, listening to an owl.
Every hour we have a different bird that chimes.
1 p.m. is a cardinal. Is it?
It is a cardinal, yes. Okay. Yeah. Amazing, just as an aside, of course, you met my two dogs that I mean, we're not filming it this time, so people can't see them. But they know, or at least the younger one knows, that we feed them every day right around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Feed them in the morning.
Which is what bird?
They know when the bird chirps.
Oh, God.
That she'll come and she can distinguish, like the owl went off, you don't see her. She's just lying in her room. Yeah. You don't see her getting all excited. If it had been the 5 o'clock bird, all of a sudden we keep their little stools that we put their food bowls on. She'd be poking at her stool. If I'm on the computer, she'll come in there and like with her snout start poking at me like,
have you ever gone man, total Pavlov with it yet and just played a recording of that bird like two hours early?
Yeah, no, I haven't. But I mean, they do get messed up when the time changes. Like when you spring forward or fall back.
Oh, God, yeah.
It screws them up.
I stopped trying to retrain my cats on that because what would happen, we would lose the hour or whatever. They typically get food, I think, at 11 and 6.
Right.
And then suddenly they're losing their minds at 10 a.m. And I was like, you know what? This is just what
you're just going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, it's just 10 and 5, and now I just feed them at 10 and 5. They win. I'm not going to deal with it. Yeah. It takes me 4 months to break them down.
Right.
And then the time changes again because they get used to the early food like that.
Right.
They're just
right.
Like, cool, life is better, you know?
That's going to be the thing, I guess, was it in late October now? We do the fall back.
Yeah. They'll learn a new bird. So be it.
So it'll be, it'll be the same bird. It'll just be an hour later than what they're used to. Their internal clock will be like, wait a minute. My hunger is telling me that it's 5.
Yeah. This isn't an Oriole hour. Yeah. What's going
on? So it is funny to see that she's figured out that 5 o'clock bird and will
come and find us. That'd be hilarious if
she
heard that bird in the wild and just
started looking
drooling.
For food.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that's a long story for me to tell you why I don't root for a particular NFL team.
No, or
why my dogs get fed when they do, which does not have anything to do with the NFL. But yeah, so I mean, if there's another team at some point that comes along that pisses off the rest of the league and fans like the Patriots have done, I'll probably gravitate towards hoping that they do well. Because I love the fact that for 20 years now, give or take, I mean, there was some down period in there, but for basically the last 20 years, the Patriots with Belichick and Brady have just annoyed everyone in the NFL because they're good. For no other reason than they're good. Because let's be honest, you don't think anybody, you don't think other teams are doing the exact same shady shit that the Patriots do. Patriots are just better at it.
I think that's, yeah, the Patriots are smarter at cheating. Like,
right. And even if they're not, they're like, okay, you caught us.
The Patriots now remind me of me as a student back when I would, without cheating, get like a 97 on a test. But I wanted that like 100. Like, I just, for like two questions, I'd be like, I don't like how you worded this.
Right.
And so I would go and look up the exact wording. Sorry, I would pocket a textbook down the front of my pants. Be like, I've got the squirts. Give me a second. And then check it out. But yeah, it's like without cheating, I was still a great student.
Right, right.
But I cheated because I was just annoyed by that shred. Belichick, this happens all the time. I used to, well, I'll still follow, was it Magic the Gathering? The competitive Magic the Gathering players. The ones that are crazy into that, they could beat anyone without cheating. But you get this mentality of like, you know what? I'm so fucking good, it's not right that anyone beats me. So then they'll just cheat to kind of push it over the edge.
Or they just
want to guarantee.
I mean, they know that they're going to win, so it's like, okay, let's see how much I can get away with without getting caught.
Yeah, it's a very odd psychology behind it, and I think the Pats are like that too. They could win without cheating, but they're like, fuck it, we want to.
Well, I think this is why I like Belichick, that they look at and study the rule book better than anybody else, and they're going to find a way to exploit whatever they find as a loophole. I mean, think about it. They did it to the Ravens a few years ago, right? Where they figured out what the rule was as far as, was it lining guys up?
Something
on the line of scrimmage, eligible receiver stuff that,
I know what you're talking about,
that drove the Ravens crazy because they had never seen it before, but it was perfectly legal.
Yeah.
And there was nothing they could do about it, and they exploited it to the nth degree. Okay. So everybody else should do the same thing then. I mean, if don't be mad because they spent a couple more hours finding a way to play within the rules, bending them as far as they could go without being a flag. Why are you mad at them?
Like,
I love it.
Every
I think it's great.
Team, yeah, needs to hire like a 12-year-old with autism to just go through the books. Be like, well, all right, you can talk trains, you know, 20 minutes from now. Go through this.
I mean, they figure. I mean, again, I love stuff like that. I love finding those little tweaks within the rule book.
Loophole.
Yeah, that will loop. And again, it warms my heart because when I coached, and this is going years ago, I coached it's like a little youth league, house league, not even like a travel, not even AAU, but house league basketball team when my stepdaughters were of that age. So you're talking 10, 11-year-olds probably, maybe even 9. I don't remember what it was. And one of the rules that they had was no backcourt defense, which makes sense. Little kids, you don't want them to be pressing. One team would destroy another team if you could press and then let them bring the ball up. So I figured out, and this is in a playoff game, I figured out by rule, when you call timeout, and again, youth league, it doesn't work this way in the NBA, so people that are NBA fans are going to be like, you're wrong, it's not the rule. What is the rule in little kids basketball? If you call timeout, the 10-second count restarts.
Okay.
So you have 10 seconds to bring the ball across half court before it's a backcourt, you know, 10-second backcourt violation. But if you call a timeout, even if you're at 8, well, now resets. You get another 10 seconds. So we're in a playoff game with this team, and they score, and there's like 27 seconds left. So now we're only ahead by 1. If we go down and turn it over, there's a good chance they're going to come down and get a layup. We're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So they throw the ball in. And I scream at my little girl, point guard, stop! Don't move! She's standing at basically our foul line.
Yeah.
And I'm watching the clock tick down. I got 2 timeouts left. And it got down to 19, and I called timeout. And so the count had been at 8. Now it's at 19, so it resets to 10. So they come over, and the kids are all looking at me like, why are we not trying to?
Oh, and you're just gnawing what was left of the
clock. Oh, and I'm just laughing my head off. In my head, I'm going, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
So I told him, I said, again, throw it in. Don't move. I'm going to call another timeout. And they're just like, but why? I'm like, I'll explain after the game.
Yeah.
When I don't have time.
Drinking the sweet nectar of victory.
When we're licking our opponent's tears of defeat, I'll explain it to you. So again, threw it in. Got to 10 seconds, I call the timeout. My last one. Well, at this point, the other coach has now figured out the game's over.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely livid. Just livid that I wouldn't play the game out.
Yeah.
And so I bring the kids
Why?
Over.
What the hell?
It's a well, kid. Yeah. Again, it's a CYA little kids league, so who cares? But anyway, so I call him over and I said, okay.
One gambling dad disagrees with you.
Exactly. So I said, here's what we're going to do. Throw it in. And when it gets to about 4 seconds, I want you to dribble as fast as you can across half court and just dribble all the way. I mean, I don't care what how you do. Just yeah. dribble all the way down because there won't be enough time for them. Even if you get the ball stolen, they're not going to be able to go the other way and score. So that's what she did. She dribbled right to near midcourt, and with about 2 seconds to go, which would be eight count on the backcourt, I just said, go. And she literally dribbled two dribbles off of her foot, and it rolled out of bounds as the clock expired because I knew that's what was going to happen, that she'd turn it over immediately. So we won. And so the other team's coach was pissed off, and their parents were pissed off and everything else. And I said, what did I do that was illegal?
Yeah.
I knew the rule book. I know that it resets. I know you can't. If you come across, they're going to call technical foul.
Yeah.
So I would get two shots and the ball back. So we could have just kept doing that. And granted, they're nine. They'll probably miss all the free throws. But all it's going to do is let me have the ball over and over and over again. So this was less painful than you taking technicals over and over again. Good season. See you around.
I like it.
And so that's why, I mean, that's the kind of person I am, that I want to find every single advantage that there is and exploit it to the nth degree. That's what the Patriots do.
So everyone from New England is a piece of shit, pretty much.
I'm not from New England. I was born here.
Were you?
So I was born here in Alexandria. I'm a Fairfax County kid from the day I was born.
Your pops is Boston, then.
My mom is from Maine.
Okay.
My dad was from Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania. He was a Steelers, Penguins, Pirates fan.
Okay.
Probably not even Penguins. He's not really hockey. He wasn't really a hockey fan, but Pirates and Steelers.
Okay, I just know that you're like a huge Sox fan.
Yes,
but that's,
Red Sox
that's
fan.
That's through the mom.
Yep, Red Sox fan through my mom because I spent many summers in Maine where they brainwash you. It's like being here in the fall. If your parents are from here, you're probably brainwashed from a young age to be a Redskins fan. Although the brainwashing might take a little bit more now because they stunk so bad.
I don't think it's a thing anymore,
Yeah, it may not be.
I think especially like all the affluent people that have moved into the city the last 15 years,
maybe.
I think they go like Nats and Caps. I truly,
yeah.
I think Dan Snyder has damaged that legacy in a way you and I at our ages like really can't understand.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I was born in 71.
I'm 81. Yeah.
So, I mean, my coming of age with football, I mean, the Redskins, when I was 12 years old, they won, their first Super Bowl title in 83.
Yeah.
So it'd be easy if you extrapolate it out. People my age, if they start having their kids in their mid-20s, that would have been 96. They were still just a few years off of a Super Bowl appearance.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been easy to brainwash those kids.
Oh, yeah. It's just around
the
corner.
Being a Redskins.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But
no,
now.
I have memories of 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And I'm 10 years younger than you.
Right.
So that's about how far back it goes. So you're talking 5-6 years younger than me, so early 30s and below, you really don't have memories of them winning a Super Bowl or doing anything.
Think about it. It's now, and we talked about this last week, you are now close to, let's see, 91 was the last Super Bowl title.
Yes.
So you're talking 28 years,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, yeah.
28 years since they last won a Super Bowl. So think about that. There are kids that have grown up, gone to college,
mm-hmm.
gotten married, and have never seen the Redskins even play in a NFC title game, let alone play for a Super Bowl. That will ruin a fan base. That will absolutely drag a fan base down when you have an entire generation that has never, ever smelled or tasted any type of sustained success at all. Like the Nats, I get it. They were new, you know, so everybody kind of bought into it because the franchise.
It's a new sport in
yeah,
the
I mean, it really, it is.
Market.
It is. But let me ask you something. If they were as bad as they were the first few years, now again, they were 500 that first year. That was an anomaly. They went 50-31 and then turned around and went 31-50.
Yeah.
So that was just kind of a weird catch lightning in a bottle for the first half of the season. Then the reality set in. If the Nats were still struggling around 500, hadn't won division titles, hadn't played meaningful playoff games, even though they've lost them all. Every meaningful game, they've pretty much blown.
Mm-hmm.
You think that they'd still be as popular as they are?
No, not at all.
Not at all. You have to taste even a little bit of success. I mean, look at the Capitals. Everybody was ripping on them until they won their Stanley Cup, and I get it. They were underachievers and this, that, and the other, but you know what? They were still selling out game after game after game. Why? They had sustained success for 15 years.
Even if
years.
They were always shitting in the bed, the playoffs,
they were.
You
good.
Walked in thinking they could
right.
win the Cup.
There was
that
always
year.
That, yeah. Hey, we're talented. We won the division, and it's not like the old Southeast division now. They won the Metropolitan, which everybody said when the Caps moved from the Southeast to the Metro, they're like, well, the division title run's over because now you're in with Pittsburgh and the mm-hmm. Rangers and all these different teams. Well, they've won it, what, three of the last 4 years or all four of the last five, whatever it is? Something like that. So it's still working for them. Or they've gotten at least 100 points in four of the 5 years. I don't remember exactly what it is. Point being...
Done some good shit.
Yeah, point being, yeah, they're still successful. But you're talking about now, again, going even further back from... Snyder's 20 years have been an absolute abysmal. I mean, it's just been horrible.
Yeah, we're even, going over this. Four playoff appearances, two wins. Yeah.
2 wins in 20 years. That's not sustained success. That you are going to get the loyalty of your team of, okay, even though we didn't win the Super Bowl or didn't win the NFC title game, at least, hey, we won a division, we won a game or two in the playoffs, we can see, we've done... Mm-mm. It's not there.
No, I mean, I can't... My dad was fresh off the... Well, not boat, the plane from Greece, but they were so good... We were still a Redskins household. Like,
because right, you came here.
Yeah.
You assimilated to what
was
going on.
Winner,
and
yeah.
You said, this is what we do, and they're good.
And
yeah.
I don't care anymore. I don't, like, I'll put it on until the instant they're losing, and I know they're going to lose. And then I just go watch another game because yeah. I don't want my heart ripped out. They still, I hate the psychology behind it because, like you said, it's not even. Unless you have an incredible piece of personnel there, like Breeze right. leaving the Saints. That I could see if you're a Saints fan, you lose your mind. But as Skins fans, we never exactly had that. Like Gibbs was the closest we had,
right.
our coach, you know?
Here you go. This is just now as we're taping this at 12:15.
What happened?
Ben Roethlisberger will undergo elbow surgery, is going to miss the remainder of 2019.
Go, boy.
It's over for the Steelers.
Oh, boy.
They're 0-2, and...
Does that save Tomlin's season, though? Like, does he...
Yeah, maybe.
I think so.
He basically had a UCL... UCL
UTI,
injury.
Yeah.
UCL injury, which is the kind of the equivalent of having a Tommy John for a baseball
okay.
pitcher. That kind of thing.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yep. So there you go.
Get the hell out of here, man.
So they are in trouble. They are. Mason Rudolph is their backup.
That is a good quarterback name.
He's now the starter.
That is a great quarterback name. Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph.
Oh, that's so quarterback. That's so good.
So now, I mean, the Ravens have to be the absolute odds-on favorite to win that division.
Hell yeah. Well, depending on what we see tonight out of the Browns.
I mean, even still.
I mean.
I don't trust them.
They did win the offseason Super Bowl. So.
Yeah, well, we see how that works out. Again, talking about the Redskins,
yeah.
They were famous for that. But, yeah, the Redskins, I mean, that's the problem with the fans now is they have no reason. What reason do they have to get excited about?
Nothing.
And it's been that way for a generation plus. You're talking about.
There's been no franchise quarterback. They've taken stabs at franchise quarterbacks.
Never gotten one.
The offensive line, we don't really have a Hogs equivalent. I guess we've come slightly close to that with, what, Sheriff and Williams, but who gives a shit, really?
Right, and Williams is, I mean, now Trent Williams, with them being 0-2, has so much leverage to either be like, pay me what I want to get paid,
mm-hmm.
trade me away, fire Trent, whatever. I tweeted it out yesterday. I said, this, whatever Trent Williams wants, the Redskins either have to go with hat in hand and say, what is it going to take to get you to come back?
Mm-hmm.
Or if the answer to that is nothing, then you got to trade him. I don't care if you get a fourth round pick.
Oh, how
you've
how
got
they
to get
botched that.
Something out of this and just move on. Because the longer they go with it being a distraction and them losing, and what they have the Bears this week, right, on Monday Night Football.
Correct, yeah.
Which, and then is it the Patriots in week four, or is that not till week five?
I forgot that that was happening. I'll say this one thing. If there is any team in the league that even the crap-ass Redskins seem to have the number of, and I know this isn't a real thing because, again, personnel changes, coaches change, whatever, they have always beat the hell out of the Bears, and I don't know why. Like, D-Hall had that four-pick game of Cutler several years ago. Just any time they match up. For God's sake, am I wrong here? Or the 80s Bears squads that had that crazy defense were beaten by the Skins in the postseason like 3 years?
Yeah, at least twice. Yeah. But again, that Bears team outside of the what was it, 85 they were really, really limited on offense. I mean, if you look at it, they weren't great. They had Peyton, but they weren't great on offense. And that was the one thing the Redskins teams could always do in the 90s was score. So you're going to have to go in and outscore the Redskins. And Chicago just didn't have it. Was the same reason that the Redskins actually played the Giants pretty well a number of times, even in the playoffs, because you were going to have to score with them. Mm-hmm. And that was back, they were putting up those kind of points when the NFL wasn't this wide open, wild, wild west shootouts every single week.
You could kick a wide out in his dick.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you were dropping 27 in a game back then, 30, you were winning. I mean, it was like, oh my God, they'd scored 30?
Yeah.
This is unbelievable. They're going to kill people. Because again, think back to Super Bowl 13 when Pittsburgh beat Dallas 35-31, and everyone lost their shit that there were almost 70 points scored in a Super Bowl. That is outrageous.
That's hilarious.
I mean, it was, and the Cowboys, it would have been 35-35 if not for Jackie Smith dropping a touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody around him hit him in the chest. He dropped it. And it was on a third down. The Cowboys had to settle for a field goal, and that's how Pittsburgh ended up winning by fours because they weren't tied. Dallas scored the late touchdown. They were down 35-24, scored the late touchdown to make it 35-31, didn't get the onside kick. But if Jackie Smith catches it, it would have been 35-35 and probably the first ever overtime. Or no, I guess I'm in the second because Dallas and Baltimore were overtime in Super Bowl V. But it would have been 70 points. Everybody was losing their shit about that. And then just a few years later is when you had the Redskins drop 42 right on Denver. Didn't they beat Denver 42-10 or whatever it was?
Yeah, they were down 10-0 first quarter.
Right, and they scored 35 points in the second quarter. I mean, that's when the explosion started to come. Now, it's everybody's scoring. If you're not scoring 30, you're in trouble, it seems like. So,
well, the rules have changed so much.
Exactly.
I mean, NFL is no different. Their TV program at the end of the day.
So here's the thing. The Redskins, honestly, could be 3-3. The way their schedule breaks.
Okay, let's hear it real fast.
They play Chicago this week, so I'll give them that win. It's at home. Sure. It's Monday night. That's a terrible matchup for them. Usually Monday night at home means disaster.
Our dear friend Matt Doyen pointed out they are only 2 of 18 on Monday night, so they're due.
Yeah.
They're due.
Then they go on the road to New York. The Giants are awful.
Horrible, but they'll beat the Skins.
I think Washington might be able to win that game.
All right, I hope.
So now they're 2-2.
Okay.
They get to come home to New England. Now they're 2-3.
Yeah.
Because New England's going to kick the shit out of them. And then they go to Miami.
What if they give the Dolphins their first win?
That would be really, really embarrassing.
We did it for Detroit, man. Remember
but
that?
You have to think that they would win that game. So now they're 3-3.
Oh, God. Why did you tell me this? Now I got to pay attention, kind of.
Now they're 3-3 before they come home to play San Francisco, which
they will lose. Yeah.
I wasn't convinced that San Francisco was any good, but they're
2-0. The Skins, yeah.
They go to play Mr. Cousins. They go to Minnesota. That could be a problem because that's a short week. It's a Thursday night game.
What happened? Does the Redskins being the Redskins overpower Kirk Cousins being horrible? No, Kirk always is good against like sub 500 teams. God,
right.
God, did he suck yesterday? Holy shit! Did you watch
and you
that
know what?
Game?
They still almost pulled it off.
He fucking the ball he threw away for a pick into the end zone into like literal triple coverage.
But did
coverage,
you? But he again almost had them all the
all
way.
I can
they
think,
had the game won. There was a penalty late that took away a touchdown from them, I think.
Oh my! All I think is they could put in goddamn Rex Grossman at this point. They could dig up Gus Frerotte. I'll keep referencing Gus Frerotte. They could have anyone in there. Cousins is bad. The only thing I will give the Redskins in terms of their personnel moves these last several years, that was the right call, man. Maybe, and even sure. not maybe for them, maybe in their situation, sign him after that first, he did like what, 8 games or something? He started doing like the second half of the season.
They could have got him cheaper had they not played the game with him after that first year.
They do the franchise game over and over.
Yeah.
So that you're not, they botched even that. So F him. But he's not good.
The question becomes, though, for all the people wanting Haskins, and they're not going to start playing him.
Why would you put him in?
Because Case Keenum hasn't been
awful, not at all.
But the people that are going to say, okay, the season's lost, so let's go ahead and play him, which in a way I get it. Look, if you're 0-5 going into Miami, maybe you say, okay, we ain't coming back from this.
Put the stink of loser on him early in his career. The hell with
that. He's going to be in Washington. The stink of loser isn't going away anytime soon. But if they're 0-5 and you're at the point now where Gruden, I mean, if they get beat at home by New England, like 40-20, 47-20, whatever it may be,
dude,
and they're
0-5. New England's been 85 Bears in on the defense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking they're up late and they just go back. Like Dallas, yes. I mean, that game, everybody's going, 31-21. Somebody goes your way. Dallas let them go right down the field on that last touchdown because they didn't care.
They didn't care.
They're just like, let's get the hell out of here. Don't get anybody hurt. But if they're 0-5 and you're going to Miami and you feel like this gives the kid a chance to come out and win a game to start his NFL career, maybe you do that. But if they're 2-3 at that point, and people are going, season's not lost yet, and we're going to Miami, who stinks, Case Keenum stays. Now they're 3-3. For the people that want Jay Gruden gone, and there are a lot of people that don't want Jay Gruden here anymore for whatever reason, you don't want them to be 3-3 after the Miami game because they still have more winnable games on the schedule where he could eke out 6-7 wins. You're firing a guy if he goes 7-9?
I guess we'll close with that debate. Where do you fall on that with him?
I wouldn't have brought him back 2 years ago.
Okay.
Because I think to me it was just clear that the problem is, I shouldn't say I wouldn't have brought him back, because if I'm in ownership, I'm not screwing with him the way this ownership and Bruce Allen and the rest of them screw with him. They screwed him over when it came to RG3. Basically saying, you have to play him, you have to play him, you have to play him. And then he finally went, no, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very contentious thing. And then not wanting to sign Cousins. I think he would have liked to have had stability. Again, we've talked about it. When was the last time the Redskins had somebody start 3 consecutive seasons and make it through all 16 games as starting quarterback? Yeah, I don't know either. The only one I can think of is maybe Jason Campbell.
He's injured a lot.
He was. I think he might have done it. He might have done it for the 3 years. If he didn't, you can't come up with it. Maybe Theismann might have been the last one. Maybe.
Wasn't even Rippon.
I don't even think Rippon did.
Yeah.
And if he did, okay. So that's the early 90s, but I don't think Rippon did it either.
I don't think he did.
I only think he was a starter for like maybe 3 years. And I think he came in halfway through one of those years or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing is, if I'm Jay Gruden, they've been screwing with me at every single turn. It's at 0-5, if they want to fire me, fire me. But I think if he gets to 7 wins this year, 6 wins, as horrible as they are and as beat up as they've been, if Trent Williams doesn't come back, how do you get rid of the guy if he's 7-9? Experts were saying they were going to win 4 games and he finds a way to win 7. I mean, if they're 3-3 after Miami,
just do the Jason Garrett.
San Francisco at Minnesota at Buffalo.
Buff's been decent.
So, I mean, do you think they lose all 3 of those?
No, I don't.
So they probably win one.
One.
They find a way to win one of those. So now they're 4-5.
Okay.
Going into the bye week. The Jets at home.
They can handle that.
Five and five. Now they're 5-5.
Oh, we're right back where we always are.
Wow. Home against Detroit.
They
always beat Detroit, right? I mean, did we just talk about?
To Detroit a decent amount, man. Detroit is like their anti-Bears.
Okay.
Remember they were the ones that broke the Detroit lose
streak.
And then a couple years later, they were like 2-0 or something. I'm trying to remember what year it was. They were 2-0,
and Detroit beat them.
Came here, okay. Beat them.
All right, so they're 5-6.
Yeah.
At Carolina, Panthers are terrible.
Cam Newton dresses like Little Richard. I don't know.
All right, so 6-6.
I don't know.
And then it gets tough. They probably lose 3 of their last 4. At Green Bay, home to Philly, home to the Giants. They probably beat them.
Yeah, okay.
And then at Dallas to finish out the year.
Oh, boy.
And Dallas might be playing for a division title or a first-round bye at that point.
Yeah, Dallas might not give a shit. You're right.
Well, they might be. I mean, they might be playing for something, so you'd lose
they
to
could,
them.
Or
if
they could,
if there's nothing to play for, maybe you win that game.
Yeah.
So...
Or you lose to their second stringers. And
that's
really bad.
6 and/or 7 wins.
Wow. My tummy hurts so bad now. You've done it.
I mean, if this team right now goes 6-8 the rest of the way.
Oh, God. The tress of the way. All righty.
I'm not saying it'll happen.
Oh,
they could lose to Chicago Monday night, be 0-3, and then the death march is on at that point.
You've painted a plausible picture, sir.
Yeah.
I think they lose to Chicago.
They may. Then they're 0-3 with New York coming.
They don't do prime time.
I dare say
let's do it. Let's make it a little interesting. I dare say they're gonna go 0-4.
Do you think they're gonna lose to the Giants?
I think they lose to the Giants.
Wait, are
they hosting the Giants? It doesn't matter. The Redskins don't have home games anymore. Everyone fucking hates that stadium. It's just visiting fans coming in. And
did you see the shot of Alex Smith sitting there with Dan Snyder yesterday?
No.
At the end of the game? You didn't see that?
No.
Snyder, again, looks...
I was long gone by that point.
He looked miserable, which is understandable. I'm not going to get on him for that. If I were an owner, my team were getting beat like that by a rival, I'd look miserable too. But he looked miserable, and the look on Alex Smith's face was one of, I wish this guy would shut the fuck up. Like, he was just tired of listening to him.
He's just a little shock sniffer. Yeah, he just wants to be everyone's buddy. Oh, I hate
him. It was bad, so. Ugh.
Well, Bill, we're going to reconvene next week. But they're the Monday night game, you said, next week.
Yeah, the Redskins.
Oh, so we might have to do this Tuesday.
That's fine.
We're going to have to see if they went 0-3.
That's fine.
Right on
that
one.
I'm sorry we didn't get to a lot of other stuff. But as we talk about, Breeze is out injured now. They're talking 6 weeks. Roethlisberger out for the year, according to the reports. So that's two quarterbacks.
Nick
Foles is out
for
a while.
Carson Wentz and from
Cam
Newton. Cam Newton. They're both looking beat to hell already. Like a complete question mark.
You already had Andrew Luck retire.
Gone. Yeah.
I mean, it's been a rough go of it here in the early
going.
It's
an upheaval, man. Yeah.
I mean,
Cam Newton and Luck were kind of that like new guard of the old guard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the late 20s, 30-ish.
And I tell you what,
they're gone.
I wasn't a big believer. I didn't buy into the hype because it seems to happen every year. That Dallas is a Super Bowl contender. Tell you what.
They're looking good,
If
man.
Dak stays healthy.
I hate it.
They got some weapons, man.
I hate it.
They've got some weapons. And what Kellen Moore, their new offensive coordinator, is doing with the different ways he lines guys up and the motions and everything else, they are way more creative than last year when they were just like, we'll just hand the ball off to Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
We'll just run it right down. Man, they looked...
Nah, they are
good.
They are 100% the class of the East.
They
I do not get
good.
People that thought the Eagles were going to step up. The Eagles had a horrible season last season, or at least not a great one, until Foles comes in. Now Foles is gone. You tell me how this is going to work out.
Yeah.
But yeah, the NFC North, you've got the Vikings.
I still think the Packers are the class of the North.
Me too. Me too. Trubisky's horrible.
Yeah, he hasn't looked good.
Trubisky's bad. It's just one of those deals where it's like, My favorite dumb quote from the movie Ronin, which is a dumb movie, but De Niro at one point goes, "When there's doubt, there's no doubt." And you're like, what? But it makes sense. Like, if you have to think in your head, is he a good quarterback? Nope, that's it. Like,
right,
I never
right.
have this debate about Aaron Rodgers. I never think Drew Brees, is he good? Yeah, he's fucking great. He's Drew Brees.
Right.
That's it. When you look at Trubisky and you're like, is he? Nope. Is Kirk Cousins? Nope. That's it.
Right.
Fucking easy answer.
And that's the thing you're looking at in that division is you go, okay, all things being equal, and the Packers' defense has gotten better. They're not great, but they're better than they were last year.
Yeah, they've gotten
better. Yeah. So you look at them and you go, okay, who's got the best quarterback then? All things being equal, who's got they do.
Aaron
so
Rodgers.
They should probably win that division. Then you go to the South with Breeze out, who's got the best quarterback in the division? It's probably Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's probably Atlanta, Matt Ryan. And he's got some serious weapons with Julio Jones, and Calvin Ridley gets better and better. But they hit the jackpot two different times with Julio Jones, and when Jones is ready to retire, Calvin Ridley's going to be right there too because he is a beast. They're probably the class of the NFC South now with Breeze being out. So now you go to the West. Who's got the best quarterback in the West? Probably Seattle. So they probably end up winning that division. Although, again, I'm not buying into San Francisco.
Has Goff looked any better, though? Because I know that they were really criticizing him without.
I didn't think he looked good yesterday.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, I think they lose that game if Breeze doesn't get hurt. And they still almost lost that game.
I'm not a believer in that dude whatsoever. I don't know if he sticks around after.
Well, they just signed him with a big deal.
They re-upped him. Never mind.
Yeah, they re-upped him. Stupid. But so I think.
God, why? Why re-up that dude,
because
man?
He performed really, really well in that system that they have. I mean, look, they're
with
good.
Vane is here.
They're good, but I just, again, I thought that Carolina almost had him week one, and Carolina's terrible.
Oh, Carolina looks so bad Thursday night.
And then Drew Brees goes down. My dog is very upset. He doesn't like us talking bad about about them. But I think Seattle, it's Seattle and the Rams that are the best teams in the West. I'm not buying San Francisco yet.
Yeah, and do you think any of these guys, end of the day, are better than the Cowboys? The Cowboys are kind of scary good. I hate it, man.
Yeah, I mean, it maybe if somebody, they always say 4 weeks and everybody's got film on you.
Okay.
After 4 weeks, everybody's got the film, everything that you've done. So they might be surprising
people
right now.
They might cool off, yeah.
But people after 4 weeks might be like, oh, okay, I see what they're doing out of this formation and this, when they run this guy in motion or they give you this look, this is what they're doing, and maybe defenses catch up to them. Maybe they don't. Maybe they're just that talented with I mean, if Dak is for real, and he had 18 straight to finish that game off yesterday, after that tipped interception, I think he only missed two passes the rest of the way. If he is for real in this offense, they've got then one of the best young quarterbacks, probably one of the best running backs, and one of the best young wide receivers across the board. And the offensive line is good, and the defense is good.
They hit on these damn mid to late round QBs too. That's the extra fucking insult.
And if they make the trade with the Dolphins for Fitzpatrick, make a Fitzpatrick wants out of Miami. Who doesn't?
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody wants out of Miami, as we talked about last week. But
I thought you were talking about the real Fitzpatrick.
No, not him.
Getting the Fitz magic in for Dak.
But if they get him and can run him at corner, all of a sudden their secondary is that much better. He's good.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good. So their secondary gets better. Their linebacking core is already pretty good. Their defensive line, they can run 6-7 guys and just rotate them. I mean, if that happens, then, yeah, I'm a believer that they are the favorites in the NFC. It doesn't mean they'll win, because the favorite doesn't always win, but they'd be the favorite.
Born and bred DC, and it's like the Skins have sucked for 20 years, but it's like all I have is the Cowboys not winning. Like,
they're going to be 3-0
if they start winning,
because they play Miami next week.
Yeah, I know.
So they'll be 3-0.
Oh, Jesus, man.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. All right, on that note.
Sorry to depress all the Redskins fans out
there. No, that's good. Bill, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, man.
And we'll see you next week for the next one. At Bill Roland, Rohlandy on Twitter. I'm, of course, John Papa Giorgio at Papa's Basement, which is the name of the standard guy talk pod that we do. And, that's about it. Till next week, pfpod.com, Papa's Football Podcast, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, Google Play, I guess, as well.
I don't know where you put this stuff.
I don't know, Android. Yeah, the hell with it. All right. Later.